The title of the message today is, What is a Christian? What is a Christian? You know, most professing Christians likely consider themselves a Christian based primarily on birth. You know, that certainly was the case for me. I considered myself a Christian very early in life because of birth. Long before I was born, my father was a Baptist minister in our Baltimore, Maryland, inner city family church. My father's mother was a Baptist, and his father was a Pentecostal. My mother had adopted my father's Baptist religion, although her family was mainly Methodist with Catholics sprinkled in. But for certain, they all considered themselves Christians or followers of Christ, and so did I. Absolutely. They were all Christians from my perspective, and they considered themselves Christians as well. But according to the Bible, what makes an individual a Christian? What does the Bible say makes an individual a Christian? Is it a matter of being born Christian or accepting the Christian belief or a Christian religion? Is it a matter of believing in Christ and voila, you're a Christian? All you have to do is believe. You believe in Jesus Christ, you accept him as your Lord and Savior, and voila, you're a Christian. Is that what the Bible teaches? Does a person have to be converted? Does a person really have to change to be considered a Christian? What exactly is a Christian? What does the Bible teach is a Christian? You know, these are all excellent questions, but let's look to see what the Bible teaches about being a Christian. I want to cover four identifying attributes of a Christian that Scripture brings out. Four identifying attributes of a Christian. Now, to begin with, is the name Christian or Christians used in Scripture? Is the name Christian or Christians used in Scripture? The answer is yes. Yes. There are three scriptures that use the term Christian or Christians, but before we review them, let's first see how the Bible defines Christian. How does the Bible define Christian? This is out of the Greek English lexicon of the New Testament based on semantic domains, Lol Nida. It says this: Christian. In the Greek, it's Christianos. Christianos. One who is identified as a believer in and follower of Christ. Christian. One who is identified as a believer in and follower of Christ. Now, that's a good definition, but as we will see, it is incomplete. It's a good definition, but it is incomplete. There is more to be added based on Scripture. Two other fundamental aspects that are that the believer and the follower also must be drawn by God the Father to Christ. Another aspect that should be listed there is that a believer or a follower must be drawn by God the Father to Christ. Another one is that the believer or the follower who is drawn by Christ, drawn by God the Father to Christ, must decide to come to Christ. Must decide to come to Christ. Now, as with all definitions, there is much more to understand and grasp even beyond these four attributes. But without these four, a person just does not meet the biblical definition of a Christian. So let's look at these four attributes as a good definition of what a Christian is. Number one, a Christian is a believer in Christ. A believer in Christ. Number two, a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ. Number three, a Christian has to be called by God the Father to Christ. A Christian has to be called by God the Father to Christ. And number four, the individual must come to Christ. must come to Christ. Now, we'll cover the first two of these attributes today, a believer and a follower, and then attributes 3 and 4 we'll cover in part 2 of this message. So let's begin with this first attribute. A Christian is a believer in Christ. A Christian is a believer in Christ. What does it mean to be a believer in Christ? What does the Bible teach about being a believer in Christ? Go with me over to John chapter 6 and verse 35. John chapter 6 and verse 35. Here in John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus Christ is speaking here. It says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, yet do not believe. You have seen me, yet you do not believe. Seeing Christ, knowing who Christ is not the same as believing in him. Seeing Christ, knowing who Jesus Christ is not the same as believing in him. Throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, there were many who saw him, many who could identify him, many who were attracted to him, many who even followed him around because of the wonderful miracles that he performed, but they did not believe him. They did not believe him. Let's back up here in John chapter 6. Let's begin reading here in verse 1. We'll see this brought out here in John chapter 6. Begin reading in verse 1. It says here, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he performed on those who were diseased. Jesus Christ had performed some tremendous miracles. It was all these individuals who were diseased, and Jesus Christ healed them. So they followed Jesus Christ. Verse 3. And Jesus Christ went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Now John identifies this as the feast of the Jews because he wants to make sure that those who would read his letter understood exactly what he was referring to. Verse 5. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing the great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Now one of the disciples, verse 8, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. This is a huge group, 5,000 men. It doesn't count the number of women and the number of children that were there. A huge group sat down on the grass, assembled to hear the words of Jesus Christ, but also to possibly see and benefit from a miracle. Verse 11. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to them, to his disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Verse 13. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. Now these individuals have seen Christ face to face. They witnessed a tremendous miracle by Christ, but they saw Christ only as a prophet. Only as a prophet. This word prophet means one who proclaims inspired utterances on behalf of God. They didn't see him as God. They saw him as one who proclaimed inspired utterances on behalf of God, or a inspired preacher. But they did not truly believe Christ. They didn't truly believe Christ. Were they willing to put in the work that must be done by someone who believes in Christ? Let's drop down to verse 22, John 6, verse 22. We'll see this very clearly. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boats there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got in boats, and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they asked him, Rabbi here means teacher. When did you come here? Verse 26. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs. Now this is the very next day. The very next day, Jesus Christ had performed this tremendous miracle, but they weren't seeking Jesus Christ because they saw the signs. He says, continue here, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You're not seeking me because of the miracles I perform. You want more to eat. You want more to eat. Verse 27. So Jesus Christ then teaches them. He provides this instruction to them. He said, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? They understood that there was going to be some work that was required of them. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. It requires work to be a Christian, according to the biblical definition. It requires work. It is not an easy road. It requires work. To believe in Christ is more than seeing the miracles. It's more than being fed or having our physical needs taken care of by Christ. It's so much more than that. To believe in Christ is to labor or to work for food or for substance that endures to everlasting life. That is what a Christian, by biblical definition, must do. Now, Christ tells them what this work of God is. He says what this work of God is. The work of God for an individual is to believe in Christ. Believe in Christ. Believing in Christ requires work. Christ provides an explanation of what he expects believers to believe about him. He makes clear what it is that we are to believe, the work that we must put in to come to the place where we believe. Go back one chapter to chapter 5, John chapter 5, beginning in verse 46. John chapter 5. Beginning in verse 46, it says here, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe me, but if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? If you don't believe the writings of Moses, how will you believe my words? Now this, you know, begin to gain some insight here on what it means to believe. To believe Christ means to believe the writings of Moses and to believe the words of Christ. At a summary level, Christ is making clear that to believe in him requires one to put in the work to believe in both the Old Testament and the New Testament in our day and age. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Those 5,000 knew enough about Christ. They knew to follow him. They knew that he had powers. They knew that he had gifts. They knew that he was a prophet, but they did not believe. They weren't willing to put in the work to believe. They did not truly believe. Now, what are considered the writings of Moses? Jesus Christ says, if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe me? What were the writings of Moses? The first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are the first five books of the Bible. The Jews, who likely made up the vast majority of the 5,000, referred to these first five books as the Torah. As the Torah. The Greeks call it the Pentateuch. The Torah and the Pentateuch. Jesus Christ is making a very powerful statement for all of mankind. You see, not only do the writings of Moses reveal to us the absolute truth regarding the creation of man, the laws of God, the holy days of God, the Ten Commandments, and so many other truths, the writings of Moses also reveals the truth about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ wants us to believe. Wants us to believe. A follower of Jesus Christ will believe the writings of Moses. That's not all, but that is part of it. Jesus Christ says, how can you believe my words if you don't even believe what Moses wrote? What Moses wrote. A Christian has to believe the writings of Moses. Now, one of the commandments of God written by Moses that a believer in Christ really has to consider in our day and age is whether they are following the fourth commandment. Moses wrote it. Are you willing to follow it? Jesus Christ says, if you're going to believe in me, you're going to believe in what Moses wrote. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. This is one of the things that Moses wrote. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. It says here in Exodus 20, beginning in verse 8, this is the fourth commandment. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, virtually all Christian religions agree that Saturday, as the seventh day of the week, is the Sabbath day that Moses wrote about in the Ten Commandments. Virtually every Christian religion says, yes, when Moses wrote the Ten Commandments and wrote the fourth commandment, he was speaking about the seventh day, which is Saturday. But the vast majority of Christian religions observe Sunday as the day that the Lord commanded to be kept. Christ says that those who believe in him would believe in what Moses wrote. What Moses wrote. You have to go back and see what Moses wrote. The Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday, is just one example of what Christians, as defined by Scripture, would believe. A Christian, a believer in Christ, will be keeping the seventh day Sabbath, Saturday, as holy. As holy. But it is not just the words of Moses and the first five books of the Bible that believers in Christ must follow as God's words. As Christ's words. Christ makes clear that the entire Old Testament we must believe as the word of God. Go with me over to Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. The Bible is a mathematical equation of addition. You do this and you do that. Regarding the things that are in Scripture. Here in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. It says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. The scriptures. A Christian is one who believes in the Bible as holy scripture and all that it says about Jesus Christ that is written in the law of Moses, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, also that's written in the prophets and written in the Psalms. The law, the prophecy, and the writings or the Psalms are the three major divisions or categories of the Old Testament. Each of the books of the Old Testament can be divided either into the law, the prophets, or the writings. A Christian not only believes in the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well. Jesus Christ said, how can you believe my words, truly understand my words, and not believe in the words of Moses? How can you not believe in the words of the prophets, the words of the Psalms, and not believe in me? As a Christian, we must put in the work, as Christ brings out here, to comprehend the scriptures. That's what a Christian does. That's the work, to believe. The work to believe is to put in the work to comprehend, to understand the scriptures. Depending on the sources referenced, there are several hundred to over 1,000 Old Testament references, quotes, illustrations, and allusions in the New Testament. So when you read the New Testament, some have said that 1/3 of the New Testament is quotes, allusions, or references back to the Old Testament. So you see why Jesus Christ made that very profound statement. How can you say you believe in me and not believe in what Moses wrote? And not believe in the writings and not believe in the prophecies? To believe in the words of Christ, a person who is a Christian believes in the Old Testament as well as in the New. So belief in Christ, yeah, it's a very big deal. The religion or belief system that one is born with does not, it does have a major impact on a person's life. Whatever religious system or belief that you grew up with does have an impact on your life. That's a fact. I was born a Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal with a little bit of Catholicism sprinkled in. Had a very big impact on my life. That was my family heritage. But biblically, the definition of a Christian is not one who is born a Christian. It is one who believes in what the entire Bible teaches. One who believes in what the entire Bible teaches. Therefore, even the Jews who read the law, understood the prophecies and the writings of the Old Testament, were not considered Christians unless they believed what the Old Testament taught about Christ and believed what Christ said about himself as was recorded in the New Testament. At that time, they heard what Jesus Christ spoke. They had this wonderful understanding of the Old Testament, of the law, of the prophecy, of the writings, but they did not believe in what Jesus Christ said. So they, even with that understanding, were not considered Christian. we're not considered Christian. Jesus makes this very clear. Go with me back to John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 23. John chapter 8 and verse 23. John chapter 8 verse 23 says, and he, this is Jesus Christ speaking, and he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe, if you do not believe, if you don't come to the point where you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. The Jews were blessed to have a deep academic understanding of the Old Testament as their religious framework, as their religious foundation, but all of them were not willing to believe what the Old Testament was teaching about Jesus Christ. Drop down to verse 30, John chapter 8, verse 30. It says, and as he, Jesus Christ, spoke these words, many believed him. As Jesus Christ spoke these words, many of the Jews began to believe him. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed. You have to abide in God's word. Old Testament and New Testament. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. To believe in Jesus Christ is to believe in the things that he says, and to believe in the things that the Old Testament says about him. For us, that's both the Old and the New Testament. For the Jews at the time, it was the Old Testament and what Jesus Christ was teaching. We have what was necessary from Jesus Christ's teaching codified as Holy Scripture for us in the New Testament. So for us, it's both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Go with me back to John chapter 5, verse 46. John chapter 5, verse 46. Let's read this again. John chapter 5, verse 46. This is where we began. It says here in John chapter 5, verse 46, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote about me, but if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Believing in Christ is a starting point to identifying what a Christian is. What a Christian is. A Christian is one who believes what Jesus Christ says about himself and believes what has been written about him both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. They believe God's word, Old and New Testament, is Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture. But it takes more than believing. It takes more than believing. It is great that a person believes Jesus Christ and all the writings of the Old and New Testament regarding Jesus Christ. But to be considered a Christian, an individual must also follow Christ. Must also follow Christ. What does it mean to follow Christ? Attribute number two. Attribute number two is this. A Christian is a follower of Christ. A Christian is a follower of Christ. Go with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. We must believe. Great to believe, we have to believe, but then we must follow. We must follow. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus Christ again speaking here. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? You know, it is more than believing in Christ or having an understanding of the things. written in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is more than knowing the name of Christ. It's more than believing in the name of Christ or referring to him as Lord. Now, this word Lord here, the word Lord here means supreme in authority. That's what Lord means, supreme in authority. Jesus Christ says, why do you call me supreme in authority, but yet you don't do what I tell you to do? A Christian will do what the one who is supreme in authority tells him to do. John chapter 10 and verse 24. John chapter 10 and verse 24. To follow Christ is to do the things which he says, to actually follow him, to actually follow him. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 24. So then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, now this word Christ here is Messiah or anointed one. If you are the Messiah, if you are the anointed one, tell us plainly. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. They follow me. You are not willing to follow me. Many Jews had trouble believing that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, even though his life was a fulfillment of and bore witness to the law, the prophecy, and the writings in the Old Testament with which they were experts. As a result, they refused to follow Christ. They didn't want to accept him as Messiah, the anointed one. Many Christian religions, on the other hand, believe that Christ was and is the Messiah. They believe that he was and is the anointed one, but they're not willing to follow Christ's teachings and his example. And some have little regard for the Old Testament, and particularly little regard for the law of Moses. Jesus Christ said, if you can't believe the writings of Moses, how can you believe my words? And he said to the Jews, yes, you believe the law of Moses and the writings and the Psalms and the prophecies, but you don't believe me. You don't believe me. Now, the Bible records many of Christ's examples for us, because a Christian who believes in Christ are to follow his example. Go with me over to Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. This is made clear again with regard to the Sabbath. I bring the Sabbath up because the Sabbath is one of the commandments that really separates those in the Christian world from actually obeying what is defined by Scripture that a Christian will do. Here in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. So it says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as Christ's custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Again, this is just one example. Christ kept the seventh day Sabbath. A Christian, as defined by Christ, would be following in his steps. He would be keeping the seventh day holy, because not only is that what Moses wrote, but that is what Jesus Christ actually did. And Jesus Christ says, you will follow me. You should be walking in my steps. Verse 17, Luke 4, verse 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now note, Christ read from the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is not one of the books of Moses. It's a book of prophecy. Isaiah wrote a book of prophecy showing that it was not just the writings of Moses, but Holy Scripture that we're to follow. Continue here, it says, and when he had opened the book of Isaiah, he found the place where it was written, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Again, Christ means anointed one. Will you believe and will you follow the anointed one? This is what he's asking them on the Sabbath day in the synagogue, individuals who knew the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel to the poor. Keep something here in Luke. Go with me back to Mark. To preach the gospel of the Lord. What is the gospel that Jesus Christ came preaching? If we're going to follow in his steps, then we're going to follow what Jesus Christ preached. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What is that gospel of the kingdom of God? A Christian will search out to figure out what is the gospel of the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ came preaching. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. What does it mean to repent? And believe the gospel. What is the gospel? These are characteristics. These are attributes that define a Christian. Are we going to follow what Jesus Christ says? Let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Begin reading again in verse 18. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You've heard it now. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to follow me? Are you going to accept that I am the Messiah? I am the anointed one? What are you going to do? That same question remains for us today. It remains for anyone who claims that they are a Christian today. What are you going to do? Those who are truly committed to Christ endeavor to do as Christ did and to follow him. Now we can see an example by the Apostle Paul, just in case we think that Jesus Christ message was only to the Jews. It was a message to the world. Jesus Christ, as we will see, came with his initial focus on the Jews. But he also knew that his gospel would be taken to all of the non-Jews as well. And we can see that example here by the Apostle Paul. Go with me over to Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 2. Acts 17, beginning in verse 2. Some may end up saying, well, no, wait, the law of Moses, the Sabbath and all that stuff was just for the Jews. No, here is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, to non-Jews. In Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 2, it says, then Paul, as his custom was, this is the custom of Paul, went into them And for three Sabbaths, this is his custom, for three Sabbaths, reason with them from the scriptures. The scriptures that they had at that time was the Old Testament. He reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ, is the Messiah. He is the anointed one." Paul was following in Jesus Christ's steps, and he was teaching the non-Jews to follow in Jesus Christ's steps. It says here, verse 4, "And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas." This is just not a man's religion. Jesus Christ requires that women come to the understanding and follow Christ. And follow Christ. "These leading women joined Paul and Silas." This is a remarkable example. Paul not only continued to keep the Sabbath day as Christ did, but Paul reasoned with them from the scriptures, which would have been the Old Testament, explaining the scriptures as it related to Christ as the Messiah, as the anointed one, and demonstrated through Christ's example that Christ lived, he suffered, he died, he was resurrected, and that he is on his throne as the anointed one. And he explained that to non-Jews, to the Gentiles. If we consider ourselves a follower of Christ or desire to be a follower of Christ, are there religious beliefs or practices that do not follow the example of Christ or are contrary to Christ's teaching and Christ's example that we have to refrain from? Jesus Christ says those who are Christians will follow his example. You know, are there things that we are expected to do in order to follow in Jesus Christ's footsteps? Are there behaviors or things that we say or that we do that are contrary to the teachings of Jesus Christ? Christ expects the Jews, and in time he expected during his walk here on earth, he knew the calling would also go to the Gentiles and that they too would be charged to be converted to follow him. They all had to change. They all were called on to change. There were non-Jews, even during Christ, even though Christ came with his primary focus was on the Jews, they had the law. The Father said, "Now what they need to do is accept you." They, by and large, rejected him. But even during Christ's ministry, he came in contact with non-Jews. And when Jesus Christ encountered them, he encountered them with love and with understanding. Let's look at this example over in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. There were non-Jews that Christ encountered who recognized Christ's authority, who recognized Christ's position more than many of the Jews did. And they were non-Jews, and this is a tremendous example. The question is, are you willing to submit to the one who is supreme in authority? Here is an example of an individual who was willing to submit to the one who is supreme in authority. Here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, this example of this non-Jew. It says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan." Now Mark records in Mark 7, 26 that this woman was a Syro-Phoenician by birth. She was a Syrian from Phoenicia, which was a Roman province. She is not a Jew. She is not a Jew. "This woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Notice she does not refer to Jesus Christ as Messiah. She refers to Jesus Christ as Lord. The Greek is Kyrios, supreme in authority. Supreme in authority. Have mercy on me, you who are supreme in authority, Son of David. Now she also uses this title, Son of David, pointing to her recognition of the Old Testament genealogy of Jesus Christ's spiritual authority. This is incredible. This is remarkable. Here's a Syro-Phoenician woman who is recognizing much more than the Jews who had the Old Testament did. The Pharisees had a deep understanding and study of the Old Testament, but failed to grasp what this woman understood. Go with me to Matthew 22 and verse 34. Keep something here in Matthew 15. Go with me to Matthew 22 and verse 34. The Pharisees had this deep understanding. They had studied the Old Testament, but they failed to grasp what this Syro-Phoenician woman grasped. Here in Matthew 22, verse 34, it says, when the Pharisees heard that he, speaking of Jesus Christ, had silenced the Sadducees, so you have the Sadducees and the Pharisees going after Christ, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, teacher, notice they use the term teacher here, which is the great commandment in the law. This word teacher simply means rabbi, one who teaches. Now, with all of their knowledge of the Old Testament, they refused not only to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but they also did not want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. They wouldn't call him Lord. Because Lord meant that they recognized that he was supreme in authority. And if he was supreme in authority, then they needed to do what Jesus Christ was telling them to do. Continue here in verse 37. Jesus Christ said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. These two commandments also highlight the division of the Ten Commandments. The first four, love God. The last six, love your neighbor. They understood this. They understood this perfectly well. Verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus, now this word Jesus here, Jesus is a Greek form of the word Joshua, meaning Savior. That's what Jesus means, Savior. Now, while the Pharisees were together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about Christ? What do you think about Messiah? What do you think about the Anointed One? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the Son of David. He said to them, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, whose son is he? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare question him anymore. Lord and Son of David. Here's a Syro-Phoenician woman who put the two together without the benefit of the deep learnings of the Old and the New Testament. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Let's go back here to Matthew 15. Back here to Matthew 15 with this Syro-Phoenician woman. Matthew 15 in verse 21. It says, then Jesus went out from there, Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost tribe of the house of Israel. I was sent to the Jews primarily. That is my primary focus. The work of the Gentiles will come a little bit later, my dear. Then she came. We're going to look at that next time because this is another part of an attribute of a Christian, is to come to Christ. Then she came and worshiped him, another attribute, saying, Lord, supreme in authority, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. And she said, yes, supreme in authority, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Not only did the Syrophoenician woman recognize him as Lord, son of David, she also recognized him as master. Incredible. Incredible. She was willing to be submissive to him, to do what he required her to do. She was willing to follow Jesus Christ. You are my master. You are the supreme in authority. You are son of David. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Great is your faith. Faith reflects both belief, desire, and action. To follow. Action to follow. To do what Jesus Christ said to do. To follow him. Oh, woman. Now, Christ does not just say woman, but literally in the Greek, oh, woman. Oh, woman. This word oh in the Greek is omega. Omega. I am the first and the last. Alpha and omega. Omega. The last letter of the Greek alphabet is a note of exclamation. Final, so be it. Jesus Christ says to this woman, so let it be written, so let it be done. I don't need to hear anymore. Oh, woman, you got it. You called me Lord. You called me son of David. You called me master. You came to me to heal your daughter. You got it going on, sister. Oh, woman. Christ adds a note of exclamation about this woman's faith. She not only believed, but she followed Christ. She found him, saw him as Lord, son of David, and master, and requested a miracle from him for her daughter. A Christian believes and a Christian follows by doing what Christ teaches. The New Testament is full of examples that Christ set for mankind, Jew and Gentile, to follow. Consider this example. Go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 says here, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults? Again, Peter here is going to show us, give us examples of what it means to follow Christ. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. And this is how you follow God. If you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently. This is what Jesus Christ did. Verse 21. For to this you were called. One of the attributes we'll look at next time. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Christ left an example that we should follow in his steps. What were the steps of Christ that Peter then details? Because Peter just doesn't leave us hanging here. He then goes on from verse 22 to 25 to tell us 10 things that someone who is following Jesus Christ's steps should do. He says here, verse 22, who committed no sin. That's what Jesus Christ did. That is what we should be putting in the work to do, endeavoring to do. Commit no sin. So if we're committing no sin, guess what? A Christian has to figure out, what is sin? What is sin? 1 John 3:4 tells us, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Okay, so what is the law? If you're a Christian, you're going to have to figure out what, it's why it becomes work. You have to look into God's word, the Old Testament and the New Testament, figure out what the law is, so you know whether or not you break it or not, so you know whether or not you sin or not, in order to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, who committed no sin. Number two, nor was deceit found in his mouth. A follower of Jesus Christ is going to be very aware of deceit that's in one's mouth, lying, deception, etc. Who, when he was reviled, number three, did not revile in return. You mean that when I'm reviled, when I'm poked at, when I'm treated wrongly, I'm not supposed to revile in return? No, if you're walking in Jesus Christ's footsteps. Well, how am I supposed to revile then? Look in the scripture and find out. When he suffered, number four, he did not threaten. You mean when I'm suffering, I'm not supposed to threaten? Not if you're walking in the steps of Christ. Well, how do I react when I suffer? You got to take the work and look into the Old Testament and New Testament and see what it teaches us about Jesus Christ. Number five, committed himself to him who judges righteously. When I go through difficult times, I need to give it over to God. I need to pass it over to God, who himself bore our sins on his own body, that we, number six, having died to sin. What does that mean? Died to sin? You begin to understand what death to sin means. It is pointing to baptism, a requirement of a Christian. Baptism. Number seven, that he might live for righteousness. Okay, so I don't stay dead after I'm baptized. Nope. You come up and you have to live for righteousness. This is what Jesus Christ did. Number eight, by whose stripes you were healed. What does that mean? That's pointing to the Passover and all of the meaning of the Passover. How did Jesus Christ's stripes heal me? What does that mean? A Christian will understand that. A Christian will put in the work to understand that. Verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now, number nine, returned to the shepherd. The shepherd? Who is a shepherd? You come to find out through work and study, that's Jesus Christ. Well, what does a shepherd do? How does a shepherd lead? What does a shepherd expect of his sheep? And then you have to figure out, okay, well, that's what a shepherd does. Then what am I supposed to do? If I'm going to walk like the shepherd, walk in his steps, then what type of leader am I? What type of father am I? What type of boss am I? What type of manager am I? What type of example am I? Am I an example of a shepherd like Christ? And then number 10, he brings out the overseer of your souls. A soul? Well, what's a soul? Is it another being within me? What does the Bible teach? You come to find out that the soul is your everything. It's you as a person. It's the spirit of God that's in you. It's the human spirit that's in you. All of that makes up you, makes up you. And God says, I am the overseer. Jesus Christ, the overseer of that. That has profound impact. It means that he is watching over you in this physical life. And then when you read and understand through work that after death, that you'll be resurrected, And the Spirit in you, Jesus Christ, God the Father, keeps, oversees, and then gives back to you, if you're faithful, changed into a spirit being. He's the overseer of your soul, your everything. You understand that? You understand the teachings and the doctrines of Christ? You put in the work to understand that. That's what a Christian does. That's what a Christian does. Clearly, if you do not believe in Christ or follow Christ, you fail to meet the biblical definition of a Christian. The biblical definition. There may be other definitions out there. Fine. But there is a biblical definition of a Christian that is very clear throughout Scripture. One final Scripture, Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus Christ speaking here. He's making clear the importance of following him daily. Here in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "For he said to them all," he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. What is a Christian? We covered two attributes today. A Christian is, number one, a believer in Christ. A believer in Christ believes both the Old Testament and the New Testament. They believe what was written about Christ and what Christ spoke about himself. And we have that today. Holy Scripture, Old and New Testament. They believe in Christ. And then attribute number two that we cover today, they follow Christ. It's one thing to believe, but Christ says you have to follow. You have to follow in his steps. A Christian will put in the work to figure out what is it that Christ wants me to do. What are the steps that he took so that I can plant my feet where his feet were planted? In part two, we will cover two additional key attributes. A Christian is also, number three, called by God the Father to Christ. They must be called by God the Father to Christ. You can believe, you can follow, but Christ makes very clear you have to also be called by his Father to him. And after you are called, attribute number four, you have to agree to come to Christ. You have to agree to come to Christ. He's not going to make you. He's not going to twist you. He's not going to deceive you. You have to make that choice to come to Christ. Next time, part two, what is a Christian?